preservation in God's presence. That's an intoxicating prospect. That ought to be a motivation to obey the Lord.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
28 miles to the southeast of Sardis lay the city of ancient Philadelphia. As cities went in the ancient world, it was not very ancient, for it had been founded by Attalus, was his name, I believe, the second, in about 140 BC. It was the most recent of the seven cities which are addressed in chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation. Attalus was called Philadelphus. He had a second name. He was called Philadelphus because of his deep love for his brother, which was known throughout the ancient world. And because of that, he was called Philadelphus, and that was the basis of the name of this city. The city was named after him. Philadelphia means brotherly love, by the way. Philadelphia, in the ancient world, commanded one of the greatest highways in the world. It was the highway which led from Europe to the East. And in a very real sense, Philadelphia was the gateway or the door to the East, the gateway from one continent to another. The Greeks early on perceived that that was so. They established the city of Philadelphia for a specific purpose, for the purpose of cultural and linguistic outreach. The city of Philadelphia became a sort of missionary outpost for the Greek culture, sort of a missionary outpost for the purpose of diffusing Hellenism or Grecian lifestyle and culture and language to the ancient world. It was from its very inception sort of a missionary entity, but for cultural and political purposes. So the New Testament church at Philadelphia carried on a similar function, but not from a cultural or a political perspective, but more from a spiritual and a theological point of view. The message of the Christians and the church at Philadelphia was not the message of a great culture, but the message of a great Christ. And there are some insights regarding or relating to the character of that Christ in verse 7. So there's a characterization of the risen Christ in verse 7. And then in verses 8 to 13, there is a communication to this vital and living and dynamic church. And in that communication, there's some things for you and I to learn. The first thing that strikes us here is this word of commendation to the church. And that's in verse 8. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength. And has kept my word, has not denied my name. He says five things in terms of commendation for this church in that verse. He says five things. He says the church at Philadelphia was marked by activity. I know thy works. They were marked by activity. They were marked also by opportunity. You notice, I have set before thee an open door and no man can shut it. I have set before thee an open door and no man can shut it. Philadelphia had been an active church. I know thy works. And now I'm giving you more to do. That's usually the way it works, by the way. It was marked by opportunity. It was also marked by humility. You notice thou hast a little strength. That is not a criticism. That's a commendation. The implication is that the church was small in number and resources and lacking what was necessary in the world's eyes to be a success. And the implication is that the church recognized that. The church's conscious awareness of her weakness made it fit for the reception of God's power, because God gives grace, which is power. God gives grace to the humble. And that was marked by loyalty. He's commending this church. Fourthly, it was marked by loyalty. Thou hast kept my word. On a practical basis, it means that they were prepared to guard and obey the word of God. Finally, he says they were marked by chivalry, that is, courage. Thou hast not denied my name. Now he makes a compact with his church, a sort of a promise given to this church very quickly in verses 9 and 10. And the compact or the promise is really twofold. One, he gives them a promise of the humiliation of their enemies, the humiliation of the enemies of Christ. He says in verse 9, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. Here was this Judaistic pressure. I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and to worship before thy feet. Now, they won't worship the Philadelphian Christians, but in the presence of the Philadelphian Christians, they'll worship God. So there's a compact, humiliation of the enemies of Christ. There's a promise to them. That's coming, verse 9. But also preservation of the church of Christ. You notice in verse 10? Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, the hour of trial, literally, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Not only will there be a humiliation of the enemies of Christ, there will be a preservation of the church of Christ. Special promise, a special compact made with this church. And notice the counsel he gives to the church, verse 11. No church has in it the right to be presumptuous, not even the Philadelphian church. As good and wholesome and powerful and influential for Christ as they were, he says, behold, I come quickly. That is, I'm coming suddenly and unexpectedly. And he says, hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. That's the word of counsel. I close with this, the compulsion for this church. There's a fivefold motivation for this church. I want you to continue being obedient to your call. And I don't want you to become presumptuous. And so here's a fivefold motivation, something that's designed to compel you, to motivate you to obey what I'm saying. One, there'll be prominence in the temple of God. You will be a pillar in the temple of my God. That's an intoxicating prospect. Those who had once had only a little strength will actually become pillars in God's eternal temple. You see, it was customary in Philadelphia to honor priests at pagan temples who had served their false gods well by erecting a pillar in that temple dedicated to them and with their name inscribed on it. Jesus said, that means nothing. How can that compare with this great prospect? You yourself will be a pillar in the eternal temple of God, in the temple of the true and the living God, not a false and a dead God, not a pagan deity, but the true God. Prominence in the temple of God. Then he says, you'll have preservation in the presence of God. You notice that peculiar phrase, he shall go no more out. Now, what does that mean? He shall go no more out. Theologically, you know what that is? That's a reversal of the expulsion from the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve went out from the presence of God. Theologically, that means there'll be a reversal of the expulsion from the Garden of Eden. We're no longer expelled from God's presence through Christ. We're warmly received into God's presence. But historically and contextually, that had another significance. Philadelphia was a city that was located on the edge of what was called the burned land. There's a Greek term for it, but it's so long and complex, I can't say it. It was located right on the edge of what was called the burned land, a great volcanic plain. Volcanic and seismic or earthquake activity were common in Philadelphia. In AD 17, there came a great earthquake, and in Philadelphia, the tremors and the aftershocks from that earthquake continued for many years. Each time one of those tremors came, the people were absolutely terrorized, and they would flee out of their houses and city into the open spaces to escape the falling debris. There was always this going out and this coming in due to these tremors, these aftershocks, for many years after AD 17. This went on, and this was indelibly imprinted in the history and the culture of Philadelphia. The promise of Jesus Christ to his faithful and vital servant is that he shall go no more out. And it is a promise of safety, and eternal security in the presence of his God. Preservation in God's presence. That's an intoxicating prospect. That ought to be a motivation to obey the Lord. One, you'll have prominence in the temple of God. You'll be a pillar. Two, you'll have preservation in the presence of God. You'll go no more out. Thirdly, you'll have possession in the hand of God. I'll write upon him the name of my God. And that name symbolizes the ownership of the saint by God himself. You will be a possession in the hand of God. I'll write upon you the name of my God, and that written name of God upon us will be a symbol of God's ownership of us. It's a precious thing to be able to say that we belong to the Lord, that we enjoy the safety of his hand. And then he says, number four, you'll enjoy population in the city of God, and I'll write upon you the name of the city of my God, New Jerusalem. I'll write upon you the name of the city of my God. It means that the believer will possess all of the rights and all of the freedoms and all of the privileges of access and participation that belong to one who is rightfully a citizen of the New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem is a throne room of God, which will settle down on the new earth, which was what God always wanted on the old earth, but could never enjoy because of the intrusion of sin. The New Jerusalem is a throne room of God. It'll settle down on that new earth, and you'll have privileged access. You'll be a part of the population of that city. I'll write upon you the name of the city of my God, and that will entitle you to free access to that city. And finally, he speaks of proximity to the Christ of God, to the Son of God. I will also write upon you my new name. That is a special name given by Christ himself to the believer, and it reflects intimacy. It reflects proximity or closeness to the Lord Jesus Christ, and is perhaps a name that in some sense reflects the believer's character. The city of Philadelphia, by the way, knew all about this business of taking on new names. It was a relatively recent city, but on several separate occasions, its name had been changed. It always drifted back and became Philadelphia, but on several significant occasions, its name had been changed. They knew all about this business of taking on a new name, but no name could confer the honor and the blessing associated with this special designation, which would be granted by Jesus Christ himself to those believers in Philadelphia. Powerful motivations to obey the Lord. So what is Philadelphia? What is Philadelphia to you and me? Philadelphia is the church which was obedient to her calling. I wonder if we're obedient to our calling. Philadelphia is the church that did not fail to capitalize on its divinely provided opportunities. How many times has God opened a door for us that we fail to walk through? Philadelphia is the church which recognized and fulfilled its evangelistic and its missionary obligation. When was the last time God spoke to us about being a missionary? The salt of the earth and the light of the world, right in our own world or perhaps in some other part of the world. When was the last time we witnessed for Jesus Christ? It would be good to think about that. Just think back. When was the last time I really gave a credible witness for Jesus Christ? Or even invited someone to come and attend a Sunday school class or a Sunday school activity? Philadelphia is the church which stood for Jesus Christ in the heat of persecution and hostility. You have kept my word and you have not denied my name. Under pressure, the very essence of the grammar there. Philadelphia is the church which stood for Christ in the heat of persecution and hostility. Are we the people who stand for Jesus Christ? No matter how difficult, in our home, in our neighborhood, in our work? Or do we, like wax, melt in the face of the heat? Philadelphia is the church that anxiously and excitedly looked forward to the coming of Jesus Christ and the great blessing and deliverance that would bring. When was the last time we gave a concentrated dose of thought to the possibility of Jesus coming today? Are we the kind of spiritual Christians that look forward to that coming? Or are we the carnal Christians who are more in love with this earth than we are with Christ and his coming? Perhaps we're the lost who dread the coming of Jesus because it means the awful judgment of God for those who are left behind. These are the probing questions that grow out of the message of Jesus to the church at Philadelphia. And these are the questions with which every one of us must wrestle. And they're the questions that we must answer.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Wherever lawlessness abounds in a godless environment, authentic love dissipates.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.